This is September 8, 1995, and we are the four Fuller daughters. Audrey, who will be 80 in December, Dorothy, who will be 75 in November, Margie, who was 65 in July, and Irma, who will be 63 in October. We were like two families because the two older girls are older, quite a bit older than the younger two of us, so they will be doing a great deal of the talking because they remember things that we didn't know anything about or can't remember. And so we're going to try our best to give our children and grandchildren a little look at what was life like, what life was like with our parents and grandparents, so that they will have a little record of our history. So we're going to start with Audrey.
Well, I'm going to start from this history that Lawrence put together.
Lawrence is our
cousin
on my mother's side.
David and Rachel Montgomery moved from Leninaw County, Michigan, to Gratiot County, Michigan, and when Grandpa was 7 years old, he spent the rest of...
This was Grandpa Montgomery,
yeah.
And that's our mother's
father. And he spent the rest of the remainder of his life in Gratiot County. And one of the things that was written about Grandpa was that he was a kind and helpful neighbor whose pleasant word and hearty handshake will be missed by those who knew him. He farmed and plowed and harvested. Most of the time, he did it by himself, though he had to use a crutch. And one story I remember for when we were kids was neighbors came to harvest some grain, and they needed a what they called a log chain. And Grandpa said, "Well, I had one, but it's gone." There was a little boy there from across the road, and he said, "Well, we've got one, and I'll go get it." And it was Grandpa's chain. And the neighbor said to him, "Aren't you going to say anything? Aren't you going to keep that?" He said, "No." And he let the child take it back across the road. He married Lydia Leffler in Fulton Township, and she was the dearest person there ever was. She had soft, beautiful skin and red hair. And when she was a young woman, before she was married, she was at a party and they played pranks on each other. And she got the end of a bad prank, and they pulled a chair out as she went to sit down. So her back was always sort of crippled, and she would... As she got old, she was a hunchback. And I just loved her dearly. And David and Rachel had a daughter named Janet, a daughter named Minerva, who we knew, and Jane, and Rosetta. And I never even heard of these. And then there's an Ellen that was born, well, she wasn't listed in the other one, but she was born in 1851. I don't know. I never remember Mama talking about them. And then there's Edwin. He was a son, and he was 3 years older than Grandpa. But I remember Mother talking about her uncle, but I didn't think the name was Edwin. Maybe they called him something.
Uncle Will. Mother had an Uncle Will.
And anyhow, this Edwin was supposed to have moved to Wyoming as a young man and had a sheep ranch. And David and Rachel are both buried at the Union Home Cemetery, where our mother and dad are buried and where a lot of our relatives are buried.
Grandpa and Grandma Mack are buried there.
Mother and father.
Yeah.
And Uncle Melvin and Aunt Doris and Uncle George are all buried there.
Mm-hmm. And Uncle Will's first wife.
Yeah. No, Sadie isn't. Aunt Lucy, Uncle Will's first wife, and Aunt Ethel, his second wife.
and a whale are buried there.
Aunt Lucy had diabetes.
Oh.
She died before I was born.
Well, I think her mother and dad were married because mom took care of her.
Yeah.
Probably then they didn't know anything about diabetes.
So it was just a short time before they developed insulin.
Had she lived a little longer, she might have been able to take insulin and gone, you know, lived a little longer. But she died shortly before they came out with insulin.
Wow. Is Glenn and Gaylor that much older than you guys?
Glenn and Gaylor were from Uncle Will's first marriage.
And they were...
I just want to pause right there. Are you going to talk about Uncle Will a little bit later?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can right now.
Well, I want to say something about Uncle Will.
Uncle Will was my very favorite uncle. And Uncle George was an alcoholic. In those days, we just called him a drunkard. And I loved him, but I was kind of afraid of him. Now, he was one of my mother's brothers. And Aunt Sadie had a very, very harsh voice. And she was George's wife. But Uncle Will is my childhood memory of someone I loved very much. He was my favorite uncle. He, when we would go to his farm, which was, I suppose, about a mile or so from Grandma Max, and there was a little creek down on his property that Margie and I used to go play in, and the one highlight of our trips to Uncle Will's that I remember, two things. One is he had a little pet black lamb that wasn't kept with the other sheep, and then he would always take us up in the granary, which was upstairs in his barn, and he'd give us a sack of hickory nuts and walnuts.
Butternuts, too.
And butternuts. I didn't remember that. And that was a treat that he would send home with us every time. And I also remember that when we gathered at Uncle Will's, I don't remember for what occasions, but there would always be a large table. Was that the dining room where they had the large table? And Aunt Ethel would always have this huge meal. And there'd always be lots of food to eat. And those are the things I remember. And Uncle Will just being kind to us. Yeah. Do you remember anything else, Marge, about those times?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say that Grandpa and Grandma Macumber had William, George, Melvin, and Flossie and Wilma. And oh, I forgot Uncle Ori because we didn't know him very well. But I think Mother had a real happy childhood. And I can't see why she wouldn't with Grandma being so kind. And she had a pet pig, I remember them talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mother had a pet pig.
Yeah, Mother
and
Wilma.
Is that right?
And they were allowed to... It was allowed to come in the house.
Oh, is that right?
And I guess it was just like a cat. It was just a good pet.
Okay, let's stop a minute.
It was the pig was fine until one day it wallowed in the mud and then got in Grandma's wet clothes basket.
Let's talk a minute about Grandma Mac. Is this okay to stop here and talk about Grandma Mac? What do you remember about Grandma Mac, Marge?
Her sugar cookies.
Mm-hmm. And how did she make them?
With a pinch of this and a pinch of that.
Mm-hmm. And what did she cook on?
Kerosene stove.
And a wood stove.
And a wood stove. And the baby chickens.
Ah. And the pump outside that we always had to go pump the water.
Broke my tooth.
Oh, you broke your tooth there?
Handle flew up.
Is that right? I didn't know that. Well, Grandma Mac, to me, visiting her was the sugar cookies and that wooden stove, I mean, that old wood stove that mm-hmm. had a reservoir at the end of it, I guess you'd say, or the mm-hmm. side of it, where there was always hot water. And then going upstairs, we always slept in this cold bedroom. And we had what they called in those days, a slop jar, which was a potty that they put under the bed. And that was so you wouldn't have to go out in the night. And Audrey and Dorothy have some other memories of that upstairs bedroom.
one of the nicest things about that was the stovepipe went right up through the room, and we'd wake up and we'd wait till we heard Grandpa making the fire down below in the front room, and then we'd get up and huddle around that stovepipe and get dressed.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that where the old Victrola was too, up there? That one that we used to crank? Wasn't that up there in that one room?
Maybe after Grandpa died.
Yeah, it was. But before
I mean,
that,
that's where I remember it.
Yeah. It was downstairs most of the time.
Grandpa was the only one that played that.
That Victrola.
Huh. And he had some
Enrico
Caruso records, uh-huh. And he had some gospel records.
Huh.
My most favorite memory of Grandpa is him reading the Beatrice Potter stories to us. Hmm. It was printed in the Lansing Journal. And we got, like, Tuesday we would get Monday's paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so Carol and Paul, who had to live with Grandpa and Grandma.
Now they belong to
George. And his marriage failed. And
his children.
Yeah. One child, Billy, who was adopted out, then we never saw him. And these two little kids were brought to Grandpa and Grandma to raise. And it was unfortunate in a way because they rebelled against Grandpa's orders and stuff, mm-hmm. and so made life miserable for Grandma and Grandpa. Though I'm sure they loved Grandpa and loved Grandma, but they just wanted to do what they wanted to do. And Grandpa did have a lot of restrictions.
Of course, it was probably the result of the insecurity sent from their home.
But now that I think of it, they would stand on either side of Grandpa, but I would sit on his lap.
Mm-hmm.
That made me kind of smug. I liked those kids, but it's just I felt a little closer and I've always felt loved. And when we would, the family would all gather at the farm to have a family gathering, the men all ate first.
Mm.
And Grandma had a great big oak table, and she'd put leaves in it.
Now, this was in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. And she would say, and Grandpa would pick out a kid, maybe two. I remember Lawrence and me once. And then he would set you on either side of him, and then he would see that your plate was filled. And that goes back to his childhood, because after he had what we think now was polio, and was crippled in that one leg so that he could touch the toe of his foot down, and he couldn't bring his heel down.
He could not touch his toe down.
He could, but not his heel.
Oh, he could, but not his heel.
And so he used a crutch. And I always admired them after I grew up to think that he was that handicapped, yet he dug ditches, he farmed that farm, he left enough money with Uncle Will, farmed the farm after he died, but Grandma had enough money to take care of her.
Mm.
And then Mama and the rest got $5,000 when Grandpa died.
Mm.
I mean, when Grandma died.
Because
then they sold the house. Now, I've always regretted that the place went. I always loved it. Like Dorothy and I were talking, when we'd think about going out there, we'd always tell everybody we were going home.
Mm.
Home, it was home. There was a lot of love there.
Mm.
And
let me just interject here that when my memory, and Marge will remember this too, that when we went to Grandma's, it seemed a horribly long time, but it was only 30 miles, wasn't it?
No, about 50.
About 50? Well, it seemed to us an all-day journey, and it probably was in the old car we had. But the heater never heated up the back seat. So we would wrap blankets around us, and we had a hymn book, and we would sing and harmonize. I don't know when I learned to harmonize, but Marge and I would sing. From my early remembrances, we'd sing all the way there. And then on the way back, I think whether it was cold or hot, Marge would poke me, and I was always the one that had to do the talking. She would poke me and say, "Ask Mother, can we have an ice cream?" And So I'd always be the one. Well, we didn't have to beg too hard because Mother loved ice cream. And so we would stop, I believe, at Matthew's. And for a nickel, we'd get this huge ice cream cone. Were you going to say something, Dorn?
I was going to say.
Oh. Mama loved ice cream, and so we'd stop and get ice cream. But anything, Marge, that you were going to say?
We're going to have a hard time getting Marge to talk about
back
this.
To Grandpa, Grandpa Mac, his mother wouldn't let him sit at the table to eat with the family because he was crippled. And she said, well, he had some terrible, terrible sin in his life was the reason that God had punished him like that. And she wouldn't let him sit at the table. He had to set off by himself to eat, even after he and Grandma were married.
And think about, Grandma was 16 going on 17 when she married Grandpa. And they lived in this log cabin that on the homestead that David and Rachel had. And she had three children before she had a home of her own. She took care of Rachel when she was sick and dying. And she must have, you know, there's more reasons than one why her back was so crippled because
she could have had osteoporosis too.
Yeah. Besides that, she all her washing was done on a scrub board. There was no automatics or even a wringer washer. It was all done by hand, all wrung out by hand.
On the back porch.
On the back porch and hung out on the line regardless of the weather. Mm-hmm. And it took her 2 days. She'd do the light white clothes and the light clothes one day, and the next day she'd do the work clothes.
And it all had to be heated on the stove.
It all had to be heated bleached. On the stove and bleached and boiled and one thing
like
another.
Remember those old boilers?
Yeah.
Remember that little shed behind Grandma's house?
Yeah.
I went in there and ate tomatoes and ate so many that I got hives.
Oh, did you?
And they told me at school I had poison ivy, and they sent me home and cried all the way home. And
we loved the little schoolhouse across the road from Grandma's house. And I guess we must have just been there when they were having Christmas programs or something, because I remember going over to the school. And we loved that little schoolhouse. And Uncle George lived just down the road from Grandma, and then there was this big pond. Was it a pond or a lake or a river? And I remember skating.
The flood glass, what you're thinking about.
And we would, that was where we would turn to go up to Uncle Will's. But many times we, in the winter, would skate down there. And Audrey, I think, remembers, and Dorothy probably too, some things about Mother and Dad and that.
Maybe
it wasn't that pond.
Yeah, I was told when I was a little, when I was a baby, that they had a little sled for me, and they'd bundle me all up, and then they'd go to these skating parties on the river, and there'd be a big bonfire and a whole lot of people. All the country people around would come and skate, and I would be bundled up, so I was fine. Dad was a farmer when I was a little baby when I was born. He was a farmer, and he rented a farm, and I remember one time of them telling that we had a dog, and I had a little cart. So Mother put me in the cart, and she was playful enough that she hooked the dog up, but the dog ran away and crashed the cart into the fence, and the dog got all tangled up, and so Mother had to go out in the field to get Dad to come and help her. Also, one time he was planting beans, and his planter wasn't doing just what it should do. It wasn't covering up or planting deep enough, so Grandma Fuller was visiting, and her and Mother went out and worked and covered the beans. Mm-hmm. But all their work went for nothing because it rained that night and everything sprouted. Mm-hmm. Dad didn't have very good luck as a farmer. And when we left the farm, he had a team of really wonderful, beautiful horses. And Uncle Will bought them. But I know that Dad felt bad because every time we went out there, he'd want to go down and see those horses. Mm-hmm. I can't remember their names, but...
He had one named Bossy. Was that one of the... That was later.
That was later. That was when Grandpa Fuller, and we'll go into that.
Okay, let's wait a minute here. Let's go back to... I think you know some things about how Mother and Daddy met.
Was that a skating party on the river?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Was it this same river?
Yeah.
Yes. Maple River.
And they met at a skating party there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Huh. And Daddy was 26 when they got married? No, 24. And Mother was?
19.
And when, I think Mother told me she became a Christian when she was about 16. Do you remember anything about that? What about Daddy? Seems like I remember him saying he was 26. Does that? Do any of you have memories of that, or do you remember always going to church when you were little? Or?
Yes.
And I do remember the church out at Grandma's house. And Aunt Ethel played the piano, and I don't remember the preacher.
Uncle Will
but
was Sunday school superintendent.
Uh-huh.
The preacher came every other Sunday.
And Grandpa Mac started that church.
Is that
he
right?
He was a charter member.
He was a charter member and started it.
And
I remember times when we were there at Christmas that some Santa Claus would come down the aisle. Yeah. Didn't one of our cousins or something trip him?
Yeah. And we were all sitting with Paul and Carol, or Paul and I were sitting with Grandma, and Paul was on the aisle. And when Santa Claus came running in, he didn't do it on purpose. Mm-hmm. It scared him to death. He crawled right under the pew and behind Grandma's legs. He was so scared to think he did on the Santa Claus. And they'd have a tree with candles, and it had lights that they could pull down, and light, they were kerosene. Mm-hmm. And they had a big stove in the back. Uncle Will was Sunday school superintendent. And it seemed like when they had programs, I remember speaking a piece. Mm. It was Matt Cumbert, and then, of course, the Fuller kids were related. And it was, you know, Uncle George didn't have any children. Oh, yes, he did, too. He had Paul and Carol. Uncle Ori didn't have any children, and Uncle Will had four boys. And at Aunt Ethel's sometimes, like Irma was saying about the dinner, and then afterwards they would gather around the piano.
Yes, that's
and
what I was just remembering.
Gaylord would play his guitar and we'd sing, and Mama and Uncle Will, I remember them singing at church, Whispering Hope. Hmm. And their voices would blend. Mama had a pretty good voice. Hmm. And she didn't have any training, but she, you know, was able to sing the hymns and that. And
Let's talk about Gaylord, as long as we just mentioned him. What happened to Gaylord?
He
got into trouble.
Gaylord
was, how old was he at that time?
Well, he'd been married, and it's...
Oh, he was married.
Mm-hmm. And some
married. And she left him. I don't know whether he drank a lot or what happened.
He did.
But he... we've got to go back a little bit. They were all Uncle George, Uncle Will, and sometimes Uncle Ori were sheep shearers.
Oh, yeah.
And so the boys took that up, too, and they had names. They were blue ribbon sheep shearers, and they had overhauls with the name Matt Cumber on the back. Uh-huh. And Gaylord, whether it was some sort of dope or what, he got involved with a man, and the man talked him into going into a bank to rob it, and he wore his overalls with Macumber on it.
Jacket, and he had Gaylord on the front and Macumber on the back. Hmm.
And then he drove so fast that the police stopped his car, and they asked him to get out, and I can't remember where the money was. But anyhow, they found the money on him, so he serves time.
I thought they drugged him and put him in the trunk of the car.
Yeah, they did, and then they sent him in. Yeah, that's true. I just kind of forgot that part.
Oh, they drugged him first.
And sent him, it was something that evidently controlled his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they sent him in, so he served time in jail for that.
A long time, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they got the other guy.
Did they?
Yes.
Because I never knew Gaylord. You know,
they had
him
in the same cell.
Oh, really?
And they had the cell bugged because they knew this other man was involved, but they couldn't get anything on him. Mm-hmm. And they had this cell bugged, and he threatened Gaylord, said if he didn't tell him that he didn't have anything to do with it, he'd kill him. Mm-hmm. Well, that was all they were waiting for.
Uh-huh. But the rest of
Mother's brothers, Uncle Will was a devoted Christian.
Yes.
And now Uncle Melvin, let's talk about Uncle Melvin. Uncle Melvin was a dear favorite uncle too, but I don't know that Uncle Melvin ever knew the Lord.
I don't think so.
And Aunt Doris certainly didn't, I'm sure.
Adventist.
Seventh-day Adventist, but I don't think she was a practicing one at all.
I don't think.
And the only thing that she practiced was not eating pork.
Is that right?
That's about the only.
Well, and she was, Uncle Melvin was, he had rides over at the Flynn Amusement Park, a little train, and he always wanted to give us free rides and was always good to us, gave us little candy and stuff, but Aunt Doris wasn't much on him giving stuff, I don't think.
No, they had a little store, a little gas station down on the river in Pompeii when I was little, and they had ice cream. Bridgeville, yeah. And he would give us ice cream cones, Dorothy and I.
And you had in the notes that Uncle Melvin was a balloonist?
Yes, in the war.
In the war. Mm-hmm. World War I, he was in a balloon. Over France.
A hot airplane?
A hot air balloon over France.
Observation. Yeah.
Huh.
And what was this about Mom and Dad's wedding day and Uncle Melvin made a table, or? That was on the tape.
Mm-hmm. It's gone from my mind completely.
Well, I'll have to replay that.
Okay, Audrey and Dorothy, what's, I interrupted you with Uncle Melvin. Now, is that,
He was an inventor.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. He had all kinds of little inventions. Aunt Doris couldn't stand the sound of a clock ticking. And they had a little trailer that they went camping in and traveling in. And he made a hook on the outside of the trailer so they could hang their clock, their alarm clock, and they could see it, but she didn't have to hear it ticking.
Was he in vaudeville or interested in vaudeville? I got something. There's something on the tape about that. Something about vaudeville, silent movies, Al Jolson.
Oh, Aunt Doris took me to my first movie, talking movie, and they had a vaudeville program along with the show, and it was Al Jolson.
Oh.
And, I was visiting them in Pontiac, and she took me to that. I must have been about 12. Mm-hmm. We lived in St. John's still. Mm-hmm. In St. John's, they had a little movie, and I loved the cereals on Saturday. And Dad would give me the money if I helped him pick up, like in the fall, it was harvesting the potatoes. And that was one of the nicest places we lived. It was on... Was it Spring Street, Dor? Or was Spring Street the...
Spring, Lansing Road?
We lived a lot of places, evidently. They just rented...
Spring Street was where we lived by Kiefer's. Kiefer's, yeah. Swingle was where we lived by Dr. Cullum.
And Dr. Cullum liked Dorothy. He made her a cupboard out of...
It was my favorite.
Dorothy could talk and entertain older people so that... everybody enjoyed her. And when I was about 7, I went to school back of the courthouse. There was a school, and I went there. I got into trouble with the teacher in the school where I should go. In the third grade, I think it was, or second. And that was when they first began to teach evolution. Well, I had memorized In the Beginning God, so when she called on me, I thought that's what I was supposed to say instead of, I didn't believe the evolution stuff. And she really whopped me one across the face when I stood up and said, In the Beginning God.
Wow.
I
whopped you.
Oh, scared. I was kind of shy. Anyhow, I don't know. The Lord gave me grace to say that because I sure wouldn't have done it myself. I was too afraid. And they, Dad and Mother really raised the roof. And so I went to a different school. So when Mother decided on it was a winter day, but she met me at the corner of the main street, the top of the main street, in front of the courthouse and across the street, the bus stop that went by Grandma's Inn, that was called the State Road out there then. And practically, it was the only road that went to like St. Louis and Elma. So the bus went by Grandma's and it would stop and let us out.
She means St. Louis, Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. And they, I forget. And so Mother met me this Friday and we went out. And when we got out to the farm, Carol and Paul took me out to the barn to see a new calf. And when we came in, I said to Grandma, I remember telling her, I'm cold. And Grandma had a rocking chair, and I'll describe it later. And she told me to sit down there and put my feet up toward the oven. And that is the last memory I have for I don't know how long. I had double pneumonia. And a storm started almost as soon as we got there, a really terrible blizzard. And so they called the doctor in Pompeii, and he said, well, he couldn't come. He tried to get there in the morning, but his buggy wouldn't get through. And he said, I want to talk to George if he's there. And he told George to go, Uncle George, to go get some whiskey. And they were to put it in a spoon and put sugar in the spoon and then put the whiskey on it and feed me that all night. And so
he knew that Uncle George would know where the whiskey
was. Yeah, he knew Uncle George would know where to get the whiskey.
So they did that?
They did that. And then he came the next day, and I really don't have any memory. I don't know how long it was, maybe a week or so, that I was in that unconscious state. And when I came to, Uncle George was sitting by the bed watching me, and I want my mother. I had to go potty, and I couldn't tell him I had to go potty. And he said, well, your mother's been up day and night, and she's resting. But finally, Grandma came in, I guess, and I got relieved anyhow. But Uncle George, to me, he was very kind to me when I was a child. We had a cat, and I loved it. I dearly loved that cat. And somebody poisoned it. And it came in, it must have been like a back room, and I remember there was a barrel. And here was my poor cat dead on that barrel. And I felt so bad. And Mother, at times she could be very sharp with you. And evidently she didn't have time to console me over the death of my cat. And I was crying. And Uncle George picked me up and took me and sat down with me and just sort of loved me up enough that I remember it.
Maybe he was not quite so much of an alcoholic in your earlier days.
No, I don't believe so.
Because all I remember is the...
And he told you that.
Yeah.
All that I remember is that he was real bleary-eyed, and he was always nice to me, but I just remember thinking that he was drunk all the time. I don't have any other good memories of him.
He wasn't... His wife wanted to run around, so she would give him something in his coffee. He didn't drink before that. And she gave him something in his coffee that created that he would sleep, and she would go out. And one night she didn't put enough in, and he saw her, found her. And so that's why the boy Billy was adopted, was because he was a baby, and George figured out he wasn't his.
Oh.
And he... So they were, by the time I was three, they were separated. And Carol and Paul went to live with Grandpa and Grandma. Mama would have taken Paul. She thought about it, but then she discovered she was going to have Dorothy. And Paul and I got into trouble while she was taking care of him. She was out to the clothesline hanging up clothes. And I don't ever know what possessed us, but I got the scissors and Paul cut my hair.
Well, I thought Dorothy was involved in this too.
No, she wasn't born yet.
Audrey had a nice big fat curl that hung down the side of her face, or her head, and that's the one that Paul cut off.
That was a those days,
didn't they wrap them in rags, Audrey?
Yeah, she used to sometimes, but my hair was so curly that Mother could just wrap it around her finger.
And she pulled it over the side and had a big bow there.
Yeah, kind of fat.
Uh-huh.
And a big bow.
And that was the...
Mom said it was a big fat.
Yeah.
Curl.
And that was the one he cut off. But yeah. Now I must have my story mixed up because I thought you all were playing barbershop.
Oh, no, that's another story,
dolls. Oh, I thought that you and Paul and Dorothy and everybody was playing bar. I've told that story, so I got it mixed up. But now,
what did you do with your Minerva doll?
Well, Aunt Minerva was 95 when she died, and she was a little bitty lady,
shriveled up
lady, and she wore long dresses and long aprons, and she didn't like any of us kids but Dorothy. The only child that ever got anything out of her was Dorothy, and Dorothy got $2 for some boots in 1929 when Dad lost his job and we went to live at Grandpa's for a while. But Dorothy would play tea party with her and just really suck up to that old lady.
I loved her.
And she had a wig. She had a fever and lost her hair. And Carol and I, she had curtains around her bed because our bed was in the same room. So she would, we would peek through the curtain to see her take her hair off and put her nightcap on. And she had always had a wooden box of apricots, dried apricots. Did she ever offer one?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. Dorothy got one. Candy.
She was...
She's the one that bought Dorothy the boots?
Yeah, and she was 20 years older than Grandpa. She had already left home when Grandpa was born. And Rachel was 41 when Grandpa was born. And Aunt Minervy was married to... came from Fairfield by stage and wagon to Grand Ledge, and she married there. And she went to school, and she was old to go to school, but evidently she got a chance, and so she went. And then when Grandpa and Grandma migrated, I guess part of the time Dorothy, do you remember when that Jack Andrews brought that secretary out to mm-hmm. Grandma's mm-hmm. and we sat there and listened? Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a letter from Lincoln?
Yes.
I don't know whatever happened to it, but there was a letter.
All that stuff that Jack had, all that information that Jack had.
Yeah, who was Jack?
He was a friend of Mom and Dad's in St. John's.
He was supposed to be writing a book.
Yeah, he was supposed to be writing a book, and he interviewed, had this secretary, took down all the things that, you know, he interviewed Aunt Minervy.
Oh.
And he was supposed to give Mom a copy of it, but he never did.
She told about how the leather hinges were made on the door, and that the log cabins, and they would bring the string in, and then people couldn't get in. But if they wanted somebody to come in, they put the string out.
Oh.
And there were Indians around. Now, I thought, now I don't know whether Dorothy remembers or not, that she said when Lincoln asked her to come and nurse her husband, that she went, her husband was in the Civil War.
Oh, I see. She to nurse her own husband.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And while she was gone, the farm was raided.
Mm-hmm.
And
by
she
Indians.
I thought maybe Civil War things, because I thought she was in Virginia. So I've been completely off the rack. If Lawrence included in his report was things from the Lansing Journal, but they could have kind of maybe fixed it up a little bit better or something, because like newspaper people do sometimes. And she worked in a tavern, an inn, and it was run by William Alden McCumber.
Hmm.
But we haven't really traced whether he was related in any way. He might have been a cousin or something. And
Was this before she went to nurse her husband?
Yeah.
And then President Lincoln wrote a letter.
Now, we saw the letter
asking her
to come and take care of him.
Huh. Well, see, that was Ingersoll, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
or Benson.
That was his name.
Benson.
Oh, Benson. Well, where does Ingersoll come in?
She married again.
Yeah. After Benson died, she married
and
again.
And Mr. Ingersoll helped to run her farm near Grand Ledge.
Was Aunt Minerva and Grandpa brother and sister?
Brother, yeah. She was 20 when he was born. She had left home already when he was born. And she traveled, as I said, by stagecoach. And then when she got to Grand Ledge, she had a little further to go, and so she went by wagon. And she attended school till she was 20 or something. She attended, and I always felt like that she didn't use Grandpa and Grandma right.
She didn't.
She lived there. And now this account in the journal don't mention Grandpa's at all, except that she died there. But she lived there with them, and I can't remember a daughter or a niece ever coming to visit her. And Grandma worked so hard to take care of her. She evidently had trouble when she was sick and dying that she couldn't control herself, so poor Grandma would change the bed and then
several times a day. Mm-hmm.
Then she would have to wash on, like we said, on the wash tub. And, and the stairs going upstairs were real kind of narrow.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And I used to think about Grandma going up and down those stairs. And Aunt Minerva never, I don't believe she was, you know, had ever accepted the Lord or anything. She just was for herself, and she never thanked Grandma. Not one word of thanks did she give her or to Grandpa for giving. And she had money and property, and she left it to her niece. And so I don't know whether she felt Grandpa was her brother and he owed her, to take care of her or what, but there was something there that she, evidently she never made much over Grandpa's children. And for the other sisters, I have no recollection at all of hearing. So they must have been all gone by the time we were old enough to hear. And
now, wasn't there one aunt that we two got to know?
Oh, she was Grandma's sister.
Aunt Laurie.
And she had a boarding house, a railroad. St. John's was quite a big railroad center in the early days, and Aunt Mallory had this big house, and they had a big office, they called it, and it had chairs in it and a stove, and the men could play cards or pool. And then the upstairs, there was several rooms. And Mama helped there some. And when I was a little girl, we were in the kitchen. I suppose I was in the way. And the cook was kind of unhappy about something, and she poured hot water all the tea kettle on my head.
Oh.
And I still have the scar where I don't have any hair. I don't know. Probably I got in the way. I don't know. Remember exactly what happened. I just remember being burned.
Was mad about that.
Yeah, I don't think we worked there much longer.
Okay. Well, I think we're about at the end of we're just about at the end of this side of the tape, I think, so we'll stop and turn it over.
First, we have to go back to Aunt Minerva, because she, when she took her wig off, she had little bits of hair that would stick up. Mm-hmm. Just fuzzy. Fuzz, I guess. Little tufts of fuzz. And Audrey and I got dolls the first dolls that had hair on. And, of course, it wasn't very good. And after a while, be playing with them a while, the hair came off. The wigs came off. Well, it left little tufts of fuzzy hair on the doll's head. So
we cut them.
Oh, all right. We cut them off.
Anyway. Sitting on the side porch on the house.
Yeah, that's right.
And we cut them off.
Cut the wigs off.
So they would look like Aunt Minervy. And
Uncle Melvin,
he dubbed them the Aunt Minervy dolls.
Well, did she ever know you?
No.
Let her know.
No.
But all the kids in the family that were younger than us got to play with our Aunt Minervy dolls. They were passed from cousin to cousin to cousin.
Mom and Dad were married on the 24th of December. They went by sleigh up to Ithaca, where they were married. And, I can't remember who stood up with them.
Mama's best friend.
Reba. What was her name? She lived up to Pompeii. Well, anyway.
Dad left Mother at the restaurant and went to the pasturage to arrange for the wedding, and he met this other couple and knew that Mama liked the lady real well, so he asked them to stand up with him. So Mother didn't know when they came to get married that her friend was going to be there and had already been married. So they had... And Uncle Melvin did make her a table, come to think of it, but it was when she went to work in Pompeii. And
what kind of a table was it?
It was just a little wooden table. Mama had a little breakfast table.
Uh-huh.
Mama had an apartment, and she worked at the bean factory before her and Dad were married. Mm. And she sorted beans, take the rocks out and...
Last summer, when Marge and I were at Crossword Village in Flint, or out by Flint, they got a mill there, and I showed her some of the things that Mom, the old bean pickers that Mom sat at and worked at.
Hmm. Do you want to tell
about
how we built that house in the River Chiefs?
Oh, yes. They had a house on a lake in Pontiac, or near Pontiac, and he had a little shelf above the door, and Aunt Doris
wasn't finished.
Yeah, Aunt Doris wouldn't let him bring his cheese inside, so his Limburger cheese was over the door, and they had a German Shepherd that would go and stand. And
well, you guys went someplace.
Yeah, we went to another place for a picnic, the whole family, and it was a hot day, and the house was shut up. And when we come home, that Limburger cheese had sort of melted and perfumed the whole house. And Uncle Melvin tried to bribe us to take a bite of that cheese. He'd give us a nickel. And boy, back then, a nickel was the be-all, for all, you know. And no, he had no takers. None of us would take any of his Limburger.
One thing that happened when we were at St. John's, Dad and Mother would hear the fire whistle blow, and everybody went to the fire. Mm-hmm. Matter what time of night it was, you got the kids up. Dorothy went in the buggy, so she was really...
You actually got up in the night, and
I remember...
Was it because Daddy would be needed?
No, just go. It was excitement, I guess.
And it was an awful whistle. It was, just go on and on.
Just scare the daylights right out of you. But so many whistles meant a certain part of town. So they'd listen for the whistles, and then they'd know where to go. And I remember
how much fun we missed.
And also, I had scarlet fever when we lived in that house. And that was another time that Dorothy climbed around. They separated us, but I think maybe she had scarlatina before I did. But Mother always said I got it because we went to the fair, and I picked up a balloon somebody had thrown down and tried to blow it up.
Oh.
So Mother said that's where I got the scarlet fever. So the day I would have started school, I had to sit on the porch and watch the kids go by. And then we were quarantined. And Dad
stayed someplace else. Maybe he stayed with Aunt Laura's. I don't know where he stayed. And one Sunday when I was almost well, I was still in bed, and they put chairs down in the archway, and they went to bed. And Dorothy woke up, and she decided that I needed company. So she climbed over the stairs, off over the chairs, and when Dad and Mother got up, she was in bed with me. So, but she never got the scarlet fever. And I peeled, my skin peeled something terrible, and I remember Mom using a scrub brush on me.
Oh.
Get those clumps of skin off.
Oh.
And, actually, we had a real, very happy childhood for no, as poor as we were. We didn't know we were poor.
No, we didn't know it.
And,
we had enough to eat and a roof over our head and clothes on our backs. We didn't know we were poor.
I kind of knew it. I thought I was adopted.
Did you really? Oh, yes. I used to go out and sit in the backyard and just, I must be adopted because no parent would treat their kid like this. I must be adopted.
You know what's funny?
It's the same thing. I'd go down in the woods and pout because to get away from everything, and I'd think, well, I'm sure I'm adopted.
Well, I can verify that Marge wasn't adopted.
Well, that's something I never thought.
Your role was a little bit easier. Dad and Mother had mellowed.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've heard this from my own kids, and I said, listen, I don't want to hear any more of that. I said, I heard that all my life, and that I got treated special because I was the last one, and now you older boys are telling me that Corey's getting treated special, and I just don't want to hear any more about it.
This is Aunt Dorothy. When I was about 2 1/2, Grandpa Fuller had baby chicks. I can vaguely remember this. And he
no,
had
this is your Grandpa Fuller.
No, this is my dad.
This is your dad.
Yeah.
Your Grandpa
yeah.
Fuller.
Okay. And I buried the chickens in the sand pile. I left their beaks out. And I told Mother I buried them. And I would not tell her where I buried them.
Oh, Dorothy.
And when Daddy come home, she told him, she said, Dorothy's buried the baby chicks, but she wouldn't tell me where they were. He says, come on, Dorothy. He says, where'd you bury them? I said, come on, I'll show you. Took him out to the sand pile. He dug up the chicks, and every last one of them was alive.
And something about rings for curtains
mm-hmm.
that you wouldn't
yeah. yeah, this was yeah. about the same time.
Yeah, Mom,
we had a big archway between the living room and the dining room, and they had curtains on each side, drapes like on each side. And there was, Mother was probably painting. I don't know the reason why she'd take the catches down, but they were brass catches. And I took them and threw them in the chicken yard.
We had black menorah chickens.
And I wouldn't tell her again. I wouldn't tell her where they were.
You know nothing about.
Oh, I know I was. And she had to tell Dad, well, where'd you do with them, Dorothy? I said, Mom, I'll show you. I went out and climbed up the top of the chicken wire fence and flipped myself over.
And go to the top and flip,
do a somersault over the top of the fence and pick the catches
you were
up.
You only 3 1/2 or 4?
I was only about 2 1/2.
Yeah.
And you'd crawl like a rooster and
oh, yeah.
beat you up?
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes.
You'd crawl like a rooster and then
yeah.
he'd come beat you up.
Oh, he'd plop me to death pretty near with his wings.
And the man next door had a big, I mean, he was as tall, maybe she was. And
a big what?
A rooster.
Rooster.
That he was a show rooster. And Dorothy got that growing from Dad. She'd hear Dad do it, and then she'd do it. And she did it one day when that we were outdoors alone, and that rooster really flogged the daylights out of her. He just whipped her arms, and I run in and got Mother, and she and Mom just panicked. And the man next door heard all the commotion that owned the rooster, and he came out and
separated them. And I can't remember that rooster anymore, so maybe he didn't survive.
I think Mr. Urich killed it. I think he killed it. Because I went back and forth to his house, you know, and when he was out in the yard, I'd go over and talk to him, and he killed it.
She had black and blue marks, on her arms and her back. And that was the house where I had my appendicitis operation on the dining room table. They hung sheets all around the room and just laid me down on the table, put me to sleep, and took my appendix out. There was no hospital, and I have a terrible scar because they put the stitches too deep. And we had a nurse that came that took care of me at first, and she wanted me to take some castor oil, and I told her I couldn't take the castor oil, so she fixed it up in orange juice. I felt so betrayed because I had to drink that stuff. That was a neat play. Oh, that another thing that happened in that house. That was
where
when,
were you living at this time?
St. John's. And Dad had this job driving the truck from a big Rio truck from St. John's to Flint with castings to the Chevrolet plant. And so sometimes he wouldn't get home until after it was dark. Mother was deathly afraid. She wouldn't let us have a light. I remember one Halloween sitting by the window and watching the kids go by, but she wouldn't answer the door, and she wouldn't let us go, and the lights were all out.
Man, when I was afraid, I wanted all the lights on.
Yeah, but she wouldn't have a light. And she was really afraid. When we still lived in St. John's, Dad got the job of taking the first cast iron stoves,
picnic stoves,
to Muskegon when they opened the state park up there. So he decided that it would be a nice trip to take Dorothy and I and Mother along. So we drove, he started out at night, and we had things to eat and blankets and everything. And in those days, there was an urban train that ran between towns. And so there'd be a track, and then there'd be a little house, a little station-like for people to wait in. And so Dad stopped by one of those, and he put down blankets, and we all laid down. And he was against the door. Nobody could have opened the door. And Mother would not let him sleep. She would poke him.
Yeah, well... Well,
I hear something. Maybe it's a tramp. So Dad finally got so aggravated that he got up and packed us all back in, and he pulled into Gull Lake under a street light, and he said, "Now, I don't know what you're going to do, but I am going to sleep." So she had opened the truck door and had me set on the step, and she held Dorothy. But she wouldn't let me sleep. She let Dora sleep, because Dora was little. But she would poke me, like she had done to Dad, and keep me awake, so I would be company for her, I guess.
Well, I'm surprised she opened the door and let you sit.
Yeah, I am,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I guess she needed the room to hold Dorothy. And anyway, we got to see our first big boat that day, next day when we went in, and Dad delivered his load, and then we had a few hours to... see the sights, and I remember seeing that big boat. And then years later, I'll wait for that until we go to Dad's family. When the time that I said, Grandpa, I had pneumonia after I was recovering, Grandma and Mama made put four chairs together, padded it up with quilts, and let me sit there. And I hadn't seen Dorothy, and Dorothy hadn't seen me. And she thought, again, she was going to entertain me. And Grandpa had a horsehair sofa that was more like a chaise lounge, because it just went up at the head. And it was horsehair. And Dorothy got on there,
And she jumped up and down, and she jumped up and down. And then she fell, and she lost her breath. She turned blue.
My word.
And Mama, again, was just hysterical-like. And
Mama didn't handle trauma too well, did she?
No, she didn't.
And she took the... And Grandma Mac grabbed Dorothy, went out underneath the pump, and it was cold winter. And she pumped. She pumped.
Well, held me under the pump.
And pumped cold water on her. Got her breath back to her.
I guess.
Got something here, too, about the harvest, and the neighbors would come and help harvest.
Oh, yes. Harvest. Always come and help with the harvest. When Marge was... little, it was before Irma was born. We went with some friends up toward the middle part of the state to go blueberry picking. Am I getting too close? And we had tents set up, and Dad and Mr. Doyle and I went out into the woods looking at, to see what where the berries were and what this how good they were going to be, while Mama and Mrs. Doyle were getting supper. Yeah, Audrey was supposed to be watching Marge, but when...
fishing.
No, you were reading.
Oh, well, that figures.
When Audrey got a reading, the roof could fall in around her. Well, anyway, Dad came back with a tin cup of berries and set them down, and all of a sudden, we didn't find Marge. Well, to back up a little bit, we were camped on the backwaters of the Tittabawassee River, and the bank was about 40 foot high, and the water was about 40 foot deep. And there was just a little narrow ledge, a little shore, very, very narrow. It wasn't only about a foot wide. Well, Mother panicked again. She just knew Margie had fallen over there and was down there in the bottom of that 40 foot drop. And we were all looking, and I walked by the tent. There sat Margie, with a tin cup between her knees, both hands popping berries into her mouth as fast as they could come. I got berries. And her little mouth was all blue. Let's see. Also, before Irma was born, the summer before she was born, we had a bunch of chickens. And Dad would call, go out, and he'd say, come on, babies, and would feed them. And Margie got where she would go out and call them. Well, she went out one day with her slice of bread and butter. Well, of course, the chickens all came flying. And the doctor that Mother had before Irma was born, he came into the yard just as Margie went out. And she's standing there. The chickens were almost as big as she was. And there she was trying to hold her bread up and hollering, the chickies get my bread, the chickies get my bread. And old Dr. Stills laughed and laughed and laughed. He thought that was so funny. And about this same time, Margie had a kitten. The porch was about 4 or 5 steps high. She would stand at the top of the steps, throw her kitten to the ground, and poor little thing would be staggering around, and she'd run down the steps, grab the kitten, and strangle it till its tongue hung out and its eyes popped out. Don't cry, kitty, don't cry. Poor cat couldn't cry if it wanted to.
Get that
off.
Margie and I feel the same way about cats.
Well, when Earl was a baby, I was home from school with the flu. And Mom said, I'm going down the basement to wash. And she said, you watch the baby. She says, I think that cat gets up in bed with her. And I was laying on the davenport in the front room, and Mom's bedroom was off the living room. And I heard Irma making a funny little noise. And I went in there, and this big old cat was laying full length of Irma's chest and had his mouth and his nose over her mouth and nose, or had his mouth over her mouth and nose, and was sucking her breath. Well, that was the last of that cat, because he was hurting my baby, and I took the cat out, and we had 2 steps down to the landing at the back door,
Dad had forgot to take a ball-peen hammer and put it away. I grabbed the cat. I had the cat by the scuff of the neck in one hand, and I grabbed the ball-peen hammer in the other hand, and I took it out back and hit it in the head. And then I went in the garage, and I don't know if the cat was dead or just knocked out, but I went in the garage and got the shovel and went out and buried it.
No wonder I hate cats.
I've always thought that, Irma, that you would have had that memory of that cat.
Well, she was only about 3 months old, but still.
But I have a real hatred for cats.
When we lived in St. John's, Daddy brought home a beautiful little Boston Bull Terrier dog. Prettiest little thing. Her name was Blossom. And unbeknown to Audrey and I, she was expecting puppies. Well, she had 7 of them. And all of them but one had tight little corkscrew tails. Just a little, about a quarter of an inch was all it would stick out of the corkscrew. Except one. And it had a tail like a rat. It didn't have any hair on it or anything. It was just a skinny little thing. And it never grew. And Dad took a pair of cattle dehorners and cut that pup's tail off. And for a long, long time, he carried teeth marks where that pup bit him. But after that, that puppy grew and grew and grew and grew. And we had it. We lived in the house we lived in. You could go from the kitchen to the dining room to the living room to Mama's bedroom to the bathroom back into the kitchen. Mom and Dad had their Sunday school class there for a party. And the last thing Mother said, don't bring those pups up. Don't bring those pups up. Well, Audrey and I got bored to death. And we shut both doors out of the bathroom. And we went, the basement door was in the bathroom. We went down and got the pups up. We got to giggling, really giggling. And the pastor's name was Dulles. I don't remember his first name, but his last name was Dulles. And he was a little fat, round man. And he heard us giggling. And he came in. Well, of course, that was chaos then, because the minute that door was open, those pups went lickety-split. Mother come fussing out in the kitchen. I told you, girl. He said, now, Flossie, don't you blame those girls. I opened the door. And Mother would put down a mirror on the floor, and these puppies would go up, and they'd bark at their image, and they would look around behind to see where that other pup was. And I had a little aluminum pail, a little child's toy pail. They had a little wooden handle. And these pups would get that and carry it around. And this little runt, he was the only one that could get under the heating stove. We didn't have a furnace, we just had a heating stove. And he was the only one that could get under there. And Mom would give him an old sock of Daddy's to play. They'd play tug of war. And one night, they were tugging away, and the little runt went out and grabbed one of the pup's corkscrew. And, of course, when he pulled on it, the pup yipped. Oh, boy, the little runt went under that stove, and he didn't come out for a long time. And we had some kids in the neighborhood that weren't, well, they had light fingers, and they stole my roller skates. So I took my trusty dog and went and got my roller skates. And then another time when we lived down in Pontiac, Audrey had to go to a different school than I did. She walked past my school to get the school bus, and she got it. She was home by the time I got out of school. And one day, I got out of school, and here she is just coming along. And I said, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you home? She says, well, those boys up there won't let me go. I said, okay. So I took off running. I got the dog on her leash, or on her chain. And the boys were just at the end of our driveway about that time. And I started running, and I was hollering, sick, 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 sick. She run those boys for a half a mile, nipping at their heels. Audrey never had any trouble with those boys after that.
I was such a cowardly little kid. When we lived in St. John's, I had a pair of red sandals for school. I was so proud of those shoes. And for some reason, while the boy across the street grew up to be a criminal, and he started early.
I was going to say, that could have something to do with it.
And it was two little girls, and they came from a wealthy family, and why they, you know, picked on me, I don't know, but anyhow, they urged him on and told, and they ripped the soles off my shoes and took my glasses off and laid them down on the ground. They didn't break the glasses, but they really intimidated me. And this boy was adopted. It was his aunt or something, but they had adopted him, and he grew up to land in prison. But I, even as bad as I felt about my shoes, I still felt sorry for him because they whipped him where we could see the strap going, and so I felt sorry for him, even though I regretted my shoes.
Let me talk a little bit about my only remembrance of Grandpa MacCumber. I don't know how old I was.
You were about two.
I can just remember mother taking me into Grandpa's bedroom to say goodbye to him. Do you remember that, Marge?
That's all I remember.
Uh-huh.
Going in that room and seeing him.
Uh-huh. And that's all I remember about Grandma Mac.
1934.
Yeah, so I was two. Yeah. And as far as Grandma Mac, I remember one other thing is that she loved to come to our house more than any of the others. She did stay with Uncle Will sometimes before he died, and I think with Uncle Malvin a little bit, but she really liked to come to our house, and we were probably the least able to care for her as far as money and room, but because the others had room for her, but she felt best at our house, and our dad, really loved her and took care of her, and I just remember those big covered aprons that she always wore over her dress, and I know that it was hard to have her at our house because we only had the two bedrooms to begin with, and I don't know what we did when you girls were still home. I know that I slept on that day bed most of my life till you both got married, but I don't know when Grandma came what we did with...
Oh, for a while there we had bunk beds.
Yeah. Is that what it was?
Yeah, we had bunk beds. Marge and I slept together, and you had a cot, like, and all of you slept in the bottom bunk. Marge and I slept on the top bunk. But I don't know what we did when Grandma was there, unless she slept on that davenport. I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like we gave her a bedroom. I can't remember, but it seems like we gave her a bedroom.
Later years, she did get a bedroom, I know.
Yeah. But I just remember her wanting to be at our house, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it was because of Daddy's kindness. And somewhere along here, I want to talk about Daddy and my appreciation of him, but... Where are we in our stories now? Do we need to...
When we still lived on the farm near Grandpa and Grandma MacCumber, Mama had an organ, and they would put me... Some of the neighbors would come, or my uncles, and they would set me on the dining room table, and they would move the organ and chase rats. Mom, if she had to go outside... She would put a feather down on the floor, and I would, where she wanted me to stay, the room she wanted me to stay, she'd put a feather in the doorway, and I wouldn't cross it for
that
nothing.
That is so interesting.
She would, I don't know how she thought of it, discovered it, but
well,
it.
Probably a feather fell out of the pillow or something, and you, she realized you wouldn't go across it, or you were afraid of it, so she realized that.
I probably thought it was a mouse or a rat.
But they used to have a little rat killing, huh?
Yeah, and they'd chase the rats and kill them.
Okay.
And they'd get in Mama's organ and they'd chew it.
Chew the felts?
Yeah. And then you'd hear them, you know, so then they'd call in.
Gross.
And then we went to a country school and we had a man teacher. And he had the bad habit of losing his temper and throwing razors.
any child that he wanted to discipline. And again, I was awfully afraid of him. One thing we skipped about St. John's was when Grandma Fuller came to visit. And Mom went to Ladies' Aid and maybe some other organization or something, but she'd go in the afternoon. So she would leave. She had one place in the lower cupboard where she left us a snack. And this day, Grandma Fuller was visiting, and we came home from school, and we went to the cupboard to get our snack, and it was a whole cake in there, gingerbread. And Grandma told us we couldn't have it. And Dorothy said, well, that's where our snack is left. We can have it. No, you can't have it. And so I just backed up and went outside, and I suppose I pouted. But Dorothy cut the piece of cake and got me one and brought it out to me. So she was taking care of me all.
Back to the school where this guy threw erasers at the kids. There was a kid there that was a bully. And as usual, he found, you know, the bullies always found Audrey. And Daddy was laid off. And I was carrying his dinner bucket. And this kid was harassing Audrey. I hit him over the head with a dinner bucket. And he left her alone after that.
And about Paul getting a sailor doll and you broke...
We got...
Audrey's doll into the rain barrel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kid body doll.
It was a kid body doll with long black curls. But Carol and I... And Carol got one with blonde hair. And they were
and
really good.
Was Paul's doll.
And Paul got a sailor doll, a boy doll. We girls were so envious. Our dolls were beautiful, but that was a boy doll dressed in a sailor outfit. I suppose we tried to talk him into letting us play with it. But then, along the line, when Dora was about two, my doll head got broke. So Mom said, "Well, we'll put the body up, and I'll try and get you a head and fix your doll up." And some way she found it, the body, and she threw it in the rain barrel.
Dorothy did.
Dorothy did. And it was, it shrunk all up because it was kid. And, so that
Dorothy,
was the end of that.
You were a mean little kid.
I was. I was a brat.
Must be who Aaron takes after.
And then when we skip ahead and went to the house we lived in when Irma was born, Mom had never let me do much. I think I wiped dishes once in a while, but I can't remember really being involved in any housework or even cooking much. But when she was expecting Irma, she was sick for months, had to spend months in bed and couldn't have only oranges and buttermilk. And so I had to learn to do some things. So I had scrubbed the living room that was all linoleum. I had scrubbed the dining room. I had scrubbed the kitchen. I had scrubbed the front room. And we had pigs. And there was a big pail of slop that Dad was going to take out, but he set it down between the kitchen and the dining room, and Margie fell in it. I sat right down on the floor and howled.
Because she spilled it all over.
Oh, all over. I had to do the floors all over again, besides clean up the mess and clean her up. And Dad said, "What is the matter with you?" I was crying and bawling so hard I couldn't tell him why, how bad I felt. And I had to learn to wash clothes on a scrub board. So I really had a time waiting for you to be born.
But you know, Mama was like that to me, too. I don't know to Margie, as far as not really teaching us to do things.
She didn't.
No. And, I can remember leaving my clothes stacked up on a chair in the bedroom as a teenager. And when Mother would ask us to do, like, dust, I felt really put upon that she would... I mean, I was too busy. I was too busy being spiritual and going to all the Christian things, you know. And to think that she would want me to do something like dusting, and
you know. But when I got to college, I was with two friends from North Baptist, and we were roommates. And they finally got the nerve to tell me they didn't think I was doing my share in cleaning the room. And I thought, the nerve then to think that I wouldn't do my share. Well, it was because I didn't know. And that's when I had to learn to wash clothes. It was after I went to college. Because Mama didn't, she'd always say, well, I'll do it myself.
I'd rather do it myself. I'd do it faster.
Uh-huh.
She did let me learn to make dressing, like for chicken or turkey. Mm-hmm. I learned to do that, and that was the one thing I could do real well. But as far as anything else, I don't, you know.
What were you going to say, Marge?
The ironing, when she worked in the factory during the war.
During the war?
It made me so mad I'd have to iron Irma's clothes. I didn't understand that. Why'd I have to iron Irma's clothes, too?
I'll tell you another thing that made her mad. When we would be doing the dishes, Mother did make us do the dishes. And I would usually have to go to the bathroom, which I still do after all these years.
Or play the piano. You always had to practice, one or the other.
Oh, I didn't know I had to practice.
Oh,
always...
oh yes. You had to go to the bathroom or practice, one or the other.
And Margie...
you had an out.
Margie would get so mad. And one time I reached up to get the dish towel and hit that funny bone of my elbow on the... a nail or whatever we hung the towel on, and man, I just saw stars. And I went in and laid down, and I was just, you know, almost fainted. I was half out, and I could hear Margie yelling, get up, Bill, get up. You're just fooling. I know you are. I'm not going to do another dish till you get out here. Get out here.
I always said that. I drank myself down. I'm not doing another dish.
When Irma was a baby, Audrey and I were so disappointed that she wasn't a boy that we would get the Sears and Roebuck catalog and we'd look pick out all the cute little boys in there, and then we'd say, Mom, can't we send Irma back and get us a cute little brother?
I turned out so poorly.
Mother would say, now you girls behave yourself. And then we called her Bill because we were so disappointed that she wasn't a boy. But
one of our uncles say she looks just like Bill?
Yeah. And then we got, I think probably it was me more than anybody else. But anyway, I got to calling her Wormy Bill. And she'd get so frustrated, and she'd say, Mama, I'm not Wormy, am I? Then Mother would have to get after me.
And then there was the time Audrey had her friends over. And
that was in Flint.
Flint
on Flushing Road.
And what did I do?
You'd go behind the chair and potty. And Mom would hear the girls giggling, and she always knew what happened.
Because they were...
And you got down here something about Margaret Peckham dressed up.
Yeah.
And there was a family, had a bulldog.
Yeah. We had a Sunday school class. Arlene Peckham and Margaret Peckham and me. Who was the third one?
Eleanor.
And we taught the little kids. So Margaret got the idea that we would dress up, one of us as Santa Claus, and we'd go and visit all the little kids. So we did. And we went to this one place. They had twins. And none of us thought about the dog. Not one of us. And that dog came right through the screen door and chased her. And she made it over the fence, but just barely. And that's where Irma performed for the first time. We had taught all the older kids a little song. I can't remember any of it except it was about a star. And we had made costumes for the little 2 and 3 year olds like angels. And she had wings, and she was the children were all standing in a half circle, and she stepped out in front of the kids, and when they started singing this song, her voice was like just over everybody else's. She carried the tune, she carried the words, and Daddy was the church was packed so bad he couldn't get into the main room, so he was down in the hall, and he had heard Irma's voice enough to know, and he turned to a man and said, that's my little girl. And when it was over, you know, people came up and they said, how did you teach that little girl to sing like that?
how did she learn all those words? Julia smiled and said, oh, we practiced a lot. We didn't even know that you could do it, that you knew it.
Well,
you had a little box that you'd stand on and sing.
Did you just say where she stepped out in the front?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dad was in the back, couldn't hear?
Yeah, yeah. And, let's see, something else. That house on when you spoke about the Victrola, Margie, that's where your Victrola was in that house on Flushing Road. And you went up the stairs, and there was a little L, and you had a little box that you could stood on to wind your. And we moved into a house we found. You kids called it your. It
Mickey
was a polka, and you kids called it your Mickey Mouse record.
Mickey Mouse record.
After Christmas, you guys would play Christmas for a long time. You would wrap up everything in your in newspapers or whatever, and then you'd play Christmas.
Wrapping up our presents.
And then it got to be such a joke among my friends that when Grandpa was dying and you and Mama and Daddy and all of them went, and I stayed because there was a prom I wanted to go to. And when Eleanor and I came home from the prom, the other girls were younger, so they had stayed at the house, had wrapped everything they could find among the toys and put them in our bed. And when Margaret Arlene did that. And then we went. So when we found it and we all started laughing and everything and it went after them, Margaret jumped off the bed. I can't think what Mother had behind the bed, maybe parts of another bed or something, and Margaret stubbed her toe and hurt her toe really, really bad. But that, you know, it was, you girls were the cutest little kids, and when I graduated, Mom made you little dresses, and we've got pictures of you with your boots on
your
graduation dress.
Is that the ones by the cherry trees where my
panties are full?
Yeah, your panties are full.
Always my panties were hanging down.
Always one side hanging down.
That's right. That's right. I don't know how I did that, but I always managed to have one side hanging down.
Well, Dora was like that too when she was about that, a little younger than that, when we lived there in St. John's. Mom sent me to the store, and I had some money to buy bread. And Dad then was driving, this was before he got a job at the foundry, he was driving a horse and buggy, or a horse and wagon, and he delivered groceries for the different grocery stores. So we went in and bought the bread, but I didn't intend to take Dorothy with me. She just followed me, and she kept hollering at me. And it was about 2 or 3 blocks from home. So I finally realized I had to take her in tow, and she had long socks on, and her diaper was pinned, socks were pinned to her diaper, and her diaper was kind of wet, so she was dripping down, and I didn't want to take her in the store, but I couldn't hardly convince her to wait for me. So then to come make my sin good, I charged some candy. And when Dad came into the store to pick up an order, the lady said that he owed her some money, that his child had charged some candy. Well, I heard about that.
I did that, too, when we would walk
across that field at about Hatherley, I think, and we'd cut across the field to the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I would be overcome with the desire for those little snowballs, chocolate on the inside and white on the outside, and I would charge those, and those were 2 for a nickel. And I think Daddy put a stop to that somewhere along the line, but I remember that.
Also, when we lived there in Flint and lived on Burnell, where we all grew up, the one Christmas that I remember that was the worst one,